Because she was just married here yesterday, I have to tell you that when Nancy Dittman, now Nancy Dowd, was a little girl in this church on All Saints Day singing the hymn we just sang a moment ago, she thought one of the verses said, and one of the saints was killed by a fierce wild priest. And I have met some of them along the way, and they are fierce and wild. So watch out. I love congregational participation. Several years ago, I had the privilege of going to St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco. How many of you have been there? Quite a few people. They are known for their creative liturgies, their over-the-top vestments, just all the interesting things that they do. And as a liturgy nerd, I was very happy to go there. And I saw everything. They came in procession with umbrellas, so maybe we need to start doing that. And they hit a gong after each lesson, and everyone went silent. And there was a baptism that day, and they had the most interesting font, which looked like a mini cliff with water coming down outside. And it was really special to be there for the baptism. But one of the things that I remember most was that we moved from room to room for different parts of the service, and we actually went outside for the baptism, so I'm glad we're not at St. Gregory today. But we moved into a room like the early Christians did. They moved into a separate room for the Eucharist or communion, and that room was amazing. You felt good the moment you walked into it. There was a high ceiling and a lot of light, and there were just images of saints, contemporary and ancient, all over the top part of that room. And so you'd have, I don't know, Hildegard of Bingen there with Mother Teresa and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. So you just had this sense of the communion of saints. And we danced together around the altar, which was like a Greek circle dance. And it was incredibly powerful. And so I felt in that space like the saints were dancing with us. Today we celebrate the communion of saints, that community of people claimed by God, invited to follow the way of Jesus across countries, cultures, and the ages. The saints of God inspire us and cheer us on. Whether they sit next to us in our pew, have breakfast with us each morning, or lived hundreds of years ago. They are young and old, rich and poor, black and white, extroverts and introverts from every walk of life. As the hymn we sang a moment ago reminds us, you can meet them in school, or in lanes, or at sea, in church, or in trains, in shops, or at tea. Maybe we should substitute at Caribou nowadays. Make it contextual. The saints of God surround us always, encouraging us to stand when it would be easier to sit, or to just pull the covers over our heads. Because of God's saints, we are more faithful, more loving, more outward-looking. Almost every time we participate in the Eucharistic feast together, I picture them surrounding the altar, joining with us as we have yet another taste of God's life and love. And this morning, Peg Howe came and told us stories about some of the saints of St. Matthew's who have been here over the years, and how they have shaped this faith community. We're here today to give thanks to God for the gift of life, to thank God for these saints that surround and inspire us and have been the light of Christ in every generation, and to welcome Frances into the household of God. She is already God's precious child, but today we're making that fact explicit, inviting her to join the saints of God across space and time. Through baptism, God will give her the gift of the Holy Spirit, the animating life force that will enable her to discern God's leading in good times and bad. Today, Elizabeth, Claire, and Francis's godparents, Leah and Mandy, will make promises on her behalf. When she's older, she'll have the opportunity to claim them for herself. What is this faith into which Francis is baptized today? Why should she be introduced to Jesus or raised in a family and a faith community that practices his way? Why would someone want to become a Christian, and especially when the Christians who so often make the news don't seem all that loving or interested in the welfare of others? Today's readings from Ephesians and Luke's gospel are a helpful entry point into these questions. The life of a Christian or follower of Jesus is a life of love, connection, community, prayer, service, and thanksgiving rooted in hope. The hope is in God and in God's promises, that God desires life, abundance, and wholeness for all people, and will go to any length to bring healing, connection, and the restoration of right relationships with God, others, and the earth. And just from having the privilege of knowing Elizabeth and Claire, they excel at the gift of creating community and fostering community. They've been such a gift to our Sunday night community. Our gospel, often referred to as the Sermon on the Plain, P-L-A-I-N, not P-L-A-N-E. So Jesus did not preach to a captive audience during a Sun Country flight. It's similar to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, but also different. For instance, instead of saying, "Blessed are the poor," Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." What the Sermon on the Plain, as well as the Sermon on the Mount, make clear is the fact that God loves and has not forgotten those who suffer from poverty, hunger, sorrow, or persecution. Your church staff spent time dwelling in this same challenging gospel this week at our meeting, and once it was read, one staff member said, "Cover the ears of your children, I'm screwed." And we started to unpack the gospel and to reflect on what we thought it might say to us today. We remembered that initially Jesus spoke to one audience, and then the author of Luke was writing to another audience, and then we're yet another third audience in a whole different time and place. But I truly believe that through the Holy Spirit, this passage can speak to us today. So we started to unpack this passage, and all our energy was focused on the sayings about hunger. "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. And woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." We tried to understand how Jesus' original audience heard these words. In Jesus' day, very few people experienced the sensation of physical fullness. Very few people ever felt full. Most people went hungry all the time. Today, people still go hungry in our country and around the world, but more people are physically full and yet have a constant feeling of emptiness. People want to feel full, but they don't know how to fill the aching loneliness and feelings of separation and sadness inside them. They try to fill this emptiness with a variety of things: overwork, the overuse of social media, drugs, unhealthy relationships, too much food, you name it. God is the only one who can truly fill our longings, desires, and hopes. And God is faithful with us through every season of life. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, working for a more loving, life-sustaining, and just world. And perhaps most difficult, God asks us not to vilify those who see the world differently from us, but to never lose sight of their human dignity. As our gospel reminds us, Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Today we give thanks that Francis joins the communion of saints, and we pray that she would be filled with God's light, life, and love. And in the silence that follows, I want to invite you to take a moment to remember all the saints who have formed, shaped, and inspired you and helped you to become the person you are today. Amen.